Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. This miracle was followed by plagues of blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, hail, locusts, and darkness. But Pharaoh's heart still was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go. Now the Lord said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely." So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the female slave who is at her handmill, and the firstborn of all the cattle as well." But God had Moses tell the Israelites to paint the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their home, so that the angel of death would pass over their houses. The Israelites did what the Lord commanded Moses, and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not one house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned up Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. This chapter in the book is called Deliverance, and that's a big part of it, but there are other titles that came to mind when reading this scripture, this part. Revenge, plagues, Pharaoh said no. No, no, no. You could do that one like over and over, right? The last one that came to mind was hardened hearts. I invite you to call this chapter whatever you wish. It's a chapter of death and destruction and devastation. Every death is devastating, just as it is today. But we feel somehow this enhanced feeling of shame and disappointment and sorrow when the death could have been prevented. The current news of today feels no better than the list of hurts that I read in this chapter. And yet you could see Moses as one who was a victor, a survivor, a leader, as God called him to do. But his actions, although brave and possibly noble at times, were also violent. They were mean. And sometimes they were the result of good fortune. This chapter starts with Pharaoh, full of fear over who will succeed him. He puts out an order to kill all of the baby boys because of his fear. Born into this time by two folks presumably in love and just wanting to be with each other, his mother has to make a very tough decision. This scripture is one that I have turned to many times, the story of Moses being left in the river and being picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. I've looked at it when I've talked to birth parents or adoptive parents or parents wanting what's best for their children in light of circumstances. I give thanks again today for Moses' sister Miriam, who watches over him throughout his life, but especially in the beginning, by that river when he was helpless and at great risk. Deliverance refers to where the Israelites end up. Through the assistance of Moses and Aaron after all of these plagues, Moses and Aaron were two that were called by God who answered yes to God's request to go. That wasn't easy. I think especially for Moses, who God called to return to a place that he felt was unsafe for him, a place from which he had fled. But he was to go back and to beg from the official in charge that occupied all of the power of that land. That was a very large order for him. Thankfully, Aaron went with him. Aaron said yes to God and was an eloquent speaker, a trusted companion and a helper throughout this journey of freeing people. Now, the plagues are nothing to take lightly, and you understand that if you have spent any time outside by a lake in the summer in Wisconsin at dusk, right? Think of yourself being eaten by all of those mosquitoes. We can understand why Pharaoh would beg Moses to stop them and promise just about anything in return to make it stop. Promises, of course, that he did not keep. But it's as if the pain of the Hebrews from when Moses was born was all but forgotten, even by God, when the last plague was to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians. What goes around comes around seems like a sad state of affairs and truly a harsh response, even if it freed many people. If we set aside the actions, the rebukes, and all the magical practices of this chapter, we can truly be awestruck by the abundance of negative terms we see in this story. The upper story, the one about God and God's people, is about God wanting to be connected with that in which God created, the people. Since people were given free will and could choose to love God and be in relationship, or fall away with sinful acts, God pursued the people to keep the relationship. This chapter's lower story is one of God choosing faithful people to lead others back after the fall. From Abraham and Sarah and now to Moses and Aaron, God speaks and empowers them to save humanity, sometimes from humanity. Pharaoh's steady disobedience is what we read as a hardened heart. It causes for much destruction and devastation. Why God chose to respond in the ways that cause irreparable harm seems very unhelpful to me, especially in light of my current life view. But the number of people that believed, that trusted in God's promises, increased through this time. And God's creation had some restoration. As they passed through those divided waters that were halted by the power of God through the hands of Moses, the Israelites could feel that God was taking care of them. Which leaves us with the third part, our story. How does any of this ancient story, this story of destruction, this history, what does it matter to us today? I believe that we're invited to consider how we too would respond to God with a yes when called to go and serve. We could be like Moses and start listing all the reasons that we have been told or that we think we are inadequate. Or we could respond as Aaron did, one that said yes, and he showed up and he greeted Moses with a kiss and said, "I can help you as you serve God." I think we're invited to think about the destruction that surrounded us, some of us more than others, as each of us has lived our own story, and to consider how we can be a part of the solution instead of being people that retaliate or blame or use another's loss as material for gossip, jokes, or teasing. I think that we're invited to consider our relationship with the Creator and our desire for our Creator, for God to deliver us from the places of exile, shame, or enslavement, of earthly desires like greed or envy or feelings of scarcity or inadequacy. Instead, we're to move from that and trust in the one that led others to freedom or safety, and that we too could trust the one, God, to lead us as well. As believers in Jesus, one that was sent to take our place, we can be passed over with judgment when judgment comes, so that we can live like the Hebrew people lived through that last plague. So, call it deliverance, or whatever fits you best. But learn the stories of the faithful and find God, seek God. Don't live with a hardened heart or one that enslaves others for their own benefit. Don't make a promise and then take it back. That's what I learned. Don't give in to the voices that say that you're not enough, but listen instead to that shaky yet faithful voice within you that echoes that of which Moses said, "Here I am." And hear for yourself God's reply, as it was to Moses, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Friends, may we trust in the promise this day and always. Amen.